You're listening to Jason Hendrick, The Hungry Man, and the Everybody's Hungry segment, part of Tom and Sandy's 805 on KVTA 1590 AM.
The 805. Venture Highway. Representing for everyone in the 805.
It's all about the 805. California
dream. Yeah, baby!
Let's back up and move to California.
From the very best of Ventura County, it's live in the 805. Now, back to your hosts, Tom and Sandy.
Welcome back. We're Tom and Sandy's 805 on KVTA 1590. Don't forget to check out 805favorites.com. Are you hungry for a little more than what you've had
before? Are you hungry? I am getting hungry.
It's about that time.
Yeah, we've been talking about food all morning, and then we've got you here, and I'm sure that we're going to talk about food again. Jason Hendricks, everybody's hungry.
Good morning. Today's Hungry Man segment is brought to you by the next installment of Cheese in a Glass.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's this week.
That is this week.
Wednesday.
Cheese in a Glass coming up Wednesday night, 6 to 7:30 at Four Bricks Winery. We're going to be in the cellar with Fritz Leon of Coastal Specialty Products. Mm-hmm. We've got four beautiful cheeses that we're partnering up with Four Bricks excellent wines. Mm. It's going to be a really nice time talking about how cheese is made, the winemaking process, and you know, learning about the cellar, and then tasting some great product together.
I'm so bummed. I'm going to be on vacation next week. I'm not going to be able to go. So you have to take good notes.
Too bad. Save the blue for me.
You got it. There will be more, though, Sandy. And if anyone out there wants tickets, please go to everybodyshungry.org/cheeseandaglass.
Perfect.
It's going to be a great night.
It's going to be a fun night.
And a portion of proceeds from all of our events go out to Food Share, which is a big piece of the evening as well.
There you go.
But today, we've talked a lot about food, obviously. We went to the farmer's market, then we got farmer's tips. Mine's a little off-the-cuff segment. I want to talk about the palate and tasting and pairing. And we're going to pick on Tom a little bit because...
You might as well start. I mean, you know, everybody else does.
We always go back and forth about the palate. And, you know, I have this real bad habit... I think Tom would call it a bad habit of when I sit down to a meal, especially if it's the first time I've ever had a food, really getting into what I'm tasting and what it feels like and what the experience is like. And Tom says, hey, what's your slogan? If it's good, I eat it.
Yeah, if it's there, I eat it. See it, I eat it. I mean, there's not this unbelievable experience. It's like, it's food, put it in my mouth, get it in my gut, and I'm moving on.
And there is a certain level of truth to that. But dining right now is a hot item, and it's a big social experience. So when you're sitting at the table, you may get into politics. You may talk about what happened in your day.
Yeah, that's a good one to get into, politics.
But I think a better like lead-in for the evening is to talk about what's on your plate and kind of your reference points. And when we talk about the palate, Curtis and I have our Pints and Pairings show. Mm-hmm. He talks about beer and food pairings. We really reference the palate and pairing a lot and kind of what it means to – describe your food.
Mm-hmm.
There are four major tastes, I should say, that you can get off of your eating. You've got your sweet, salty, bitter, and then the sour.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also considered a fifth taste, and that's umami. And that's usually from the...
Your mommy?
Not my mommy, your mommy.
Your mommy? what kind of show is this?
Actually, that hamburger place is named umami.
Correct.
After that.
And and what that references is the amino acids and the meatier protein... flavor that you get. It's typically like in a salt form. It's that savory component. And so when we get into this is savory, it's sweet, it's bitter, all the taste buds on your tongue are interacting and you're moving, you know, foods around to get those different combinations. Sometimes it'll be a little salt and sweet, or it'll be a little sour and bitter. What you're really getting into is the nuances of that food.
Right.
So you're sitting there, you're talking about everything that's on your plate visually, but also describing what it means to you. I think the best way for me to describe my passion when I talk about food is to reference things. People are always intimidated. You know, I think that's one reason why you and I kind of go back and forth in a fun way, but people are intimidated to talk about food because they're like, well, I don't know what it tastes like. I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want people to think I don't know what I'm talking about.
But there's no wrong thing.
Exactly. There's no wrong thing.
What you're tasting.
It's what you're tasting. And I think that's a good thing to put out there and forcefully to say, it's what you're tasting.
Right.
Because my palate and Sandy's palate are going to be different.
Than Tom's.
And what that has to do with is the sense memory.
Tom's.
She really
it's like I got some kind of weird palate. No, not at all.
It's not that you have a weird palate. You have no palate.
No, I've got a palate for everything. I like to eat. But it's so funny with people with food. I'll give you an example. I was away for a couple days with another couple. And she can't have any of her food touching each other. Oh my God! I thought, what?
I can't buy into that philosophy of eating each item individually.
Yeah, seriously, she could. If you had potatoes, the potato could not touch anything to do with the steak, and that could not touch anything to do with the salad. Hell, my plate looked like
sure
a smorgasbord.
And this will be that time where I get made fun of at the table. But in a situation like that, that's when I really encourage and I try to influence and share my passion for food. Mix those things. The interaction of those foods is what brings out interesting flavors and interesting perspective. Looking backward, too, again, I said it was all about sense memory. So as you grow up, you're eating different foods, and those tastes, you may not know how to describe them or what they're about, but they leave an impact. You remember a setting. Sometimes you can taste something, and it'll take you back to a place you were in the past. Or a smell. You know, a good portion of your tasting actually is through the olfactory glands.
Yeah.
That smell tells the palate and the tongue what's coming, and you are going to be influenced by that. Even us talking about it, if we had a meal in front of us, I could tell you about what I'm tasting,
mm-hmm.
and you're probably going to taste something similar because I just, you know, influenced your
right. perspective yeah. on yeah. it. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm tasting that.
Yeah,
sure.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's all about referencing things that are familiar to you.
When you taste something, you take a bite, you can't get that taste right away. You've got to kind of let it sit within you, right?
Correct. And one of the things we'll talk about on Wednesday, and especially related to cheese and beer and wine, is that as things warm up, they will change as well. So when we serve a cheese or a wine really, really cold, you're actually dulling those taste buds. You're numbing the taste buds as it comes across. So you're going to miss some flavor there.
Mm-hmm.
A good 20 to 30 minutes on a cheese will allow it to warm up, and those organic compounds will start to release more aroma and more flavor. There is a fine threshold, though, and every food is going to be a little different. Once it starts to warm up too much, so you're getting new flavors, new aroma,
right.
and then it starts to deteriorate. And you want to be mm-hmm. careful, you know, that you're not leaving things out on your counter too long or on your plate too
right.
long. But there is that that aspect of temperature and environment that you want to be conscious of.
Well, it's just like beer, for instance. If beer is too cold, they all taste about
right.
the same. You know, they have to come up to some, I don't know what the temperature is exactly, but let's say instead of, you know, when somebody will give you a cold glass, they say that's the worst way to drink beer.
Most
is with
definitely.
A chilled glass.
Right. And if things are too hot as well, so if you're eating soup in that, especially as a first course for any multi-course dinner, if the soup's too hot and you scald your taste buds, now you're going to affect, you know, what you're tasting from then on forward. And all these things play into the experience. The intimidation of pairing foods as well kind of bundles all this together. I don't know, you know, I may not know what to put together, or I don't have the experience, or I don't, you know, I'm afraid what my guests will say. But that's part of the fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put some foods on a plate, you put some beverages out in front, and what we do for each one of these events is about an hour and a half long tasting where we put all the wines or all the beer mm-hmm. or whatever we're partnering beverage-wise
right.
on the table. We put the cheeses on the table that we think are going to go well together based on some research, and then we just start shuffling things around and tasting and talking about it. And there is some influence based on the descriptions, but it's a fun time at the table. You know, things may not work, and you move that to the side, and you try in something different. And again, it goes back to kind of referencing what you know.
Mm-hmm.
People are like, well, how do I describe it? What is it, you know, similar to? Have you had a peach in the past? Is that sweetness similar to a peach, or is the mouthfeel fuzzy like the peach skin? Is it bitter like an aspirin?
Okay, can you eat a peach? Can you eat the skin?
Yes, you can.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no, but I'm saying, can you do it?
Yeah.
Oh, it drives me absolutely out of my mind.
You have to peel it?
Oh, I can't stand that,
you know,
buzz.
But I grew up with peaches.
Ooh,
like that.
It gets all over your tongue.
That was the way.
I already got enough problems with my tongue today.
That
peach
was the way
fuzz
I was taught
it?
To eat it, though. When I grew up, my parents, you know, my dad would cut off slices, and that's just how we learned to eat
it. Yeah, see, I don't eat peaches because of that.
I met some people that don't eat food right out of the ground either, and I know Farmer John would tell you that that's a great way to try food when it's fresh out of the soil.
Oh, yeah.
Strawberries, when I was young, we used to go do the U-pick kind of concept where mm-hmm. you pick them on our own, and I would sit in the row and eat strawberries right off the vine. And the freshness of a product will affect, you know, again, going back to your childhood, now you grew up and what you tasted. Each one of those experiences drives what you taste on the plate today.
Definitely. You know what's funny about food is you think about something. Like I haven't had, when you were talking, I was just thinking of being a kid and stuff. I haven't had a Pop-Tart in years.
But you can, right now,
I could taste. I can taste a Pop-Tart, and I can taste the difference between a Pop-Tart and a Toastum, which was the other brand that came out. It was Pop-Tart's little brother,
sure.
you know? And you either like Toastums or you like Pop-Tarts.
Right.
I liked them both. But, okay. I mean, I can taste each one of those in my mind right now.
And one thing that we didn't talk about is texture, mouthfeel, and foods will have a certain, you know, feel as you work them around the mouth. You're asking Sandy earlier a little bit about kind of tips on tasting. One of the things when I do take a first bite, especially if it's something I never had before, is I move it around my palate. I try to hit all those zones, the sweet, the sour, the bitter, and, you know, really get a full experience. After I swallow, I take a set and I think, what did I taste there? And then the second bite will be a little more potent. I can really get a little more honed in on what I'm tasting.
Right. What are you laughing at?
It's like it's a religion to him. You know, just eat it.
You know, in all honesty, sometimes it is. There are some days where I'm really craving a certain food, and I go and get it, and I take that first bite, and I can close my eyes as I'm taking the bite, and my whole body relaxes, where I'm just like, ah, oh, that is exactly what I needed in that moment in time.
Okay. I'll go with that.
See, I like what he says, only because I'm kind of learning that same philosophy right now in taking all of the psalm classes, because it's the same thing. I mean, it's the same practice. Sure.
And I totally can relate and respect the fact that not everyone is as passionate about food as I am. But that's when you have that passion for whatever your thing is, whatever your activity is, you really get into it. And that's why I love, you know, the direction that we're going with Everybody's Hungry, because I have three things that we focus on: sharing my passion for food and beverage, educating about that food and beverage, and then raising awareness. The first two items are really hot right now for people. They want to know where their food's coming from. Sure. They want to know what it tastes like and how to interact with it in a great way. And it becomes a social experience.
Yeah. Well, you heard about the chickens.
What about the chickens?
The chickens are being fed arsenic. And the FDA finally said, I read a huge article the other day on the internet, and the internet doesn't lie. It was talking about how these chickens are fed arsenic, and now we're eating that, and they finally, the FDA finally said, yes, that's true.
After denying it forever.
For so many years.
Yeah, well, trust any of those people?
And that's a great segue right there. I know we're wrapping up with time.
Yeah.
To encourage people, learn about your food. And it doesn't have to be, you know, this deep religious thing, but learn.
No,
learn.
I'm just teasing you, by the way.
No, most definitely. Yeah, we always have fun on the show. But also get out and meet the people that are bringing your food.
Sure.
We have Ann talking about the farmer's market. We have John coming in and talking about his farm. We have people on every weekend passionate about their food and their craft. You talk to those people, they're going to give you all the information you need to know. It's fresh. It's local. And I love it. We're right here in Ventura with all kinds of great food.
Beautiful.
Everybody's Hungry can be found.
Everybody'sHungry.org, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, all those social media sites. Again, we have this event coming up on Wednesday. It's going to be a great time. We're going to learn about cheese, learn about the wine. Karen and Gary from Four Bricks are going to give us their spiel.
Nice.
Which is a really excellent focus on how they learned about wine and how they're making it. Portion of the proceeds goes to Food Share. We're going to give away a pair of tickets.
All right.
Oh, nice.
Very cool. Okay. If you haven't been to one of these things are definitely worth it. It's a lot of fun.
The cheese is amazing.
And Fritz really knows his stuff about
Fritz
cheese.
Fritz does. Fritz is really sharp on that cheese. And what's really cool is you're going to go to Four Bricks Wine, taste the beautiful wines, pairing it up on Jason right here. A pair of tickets, 650-1590. Call right now. We'll take caller number 8 on that one, 650-1590. Join me. I will be there on Wednesday night with Jason. I can't wait. I love those pairings that you do. They're absolutely excellent.
All right. Well, we're going to go on a break. We're going to listen to some great sponsors. We're Tom and Sandy's 805 on KVTA 1590.
You've been listening to the Everybody's Hungry segment on Tom and Sandy's 805. Follow us at everybodyshungry.org on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Google+.